Shocker, how you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Oh, outstanding.
Good. Hey, can I hear myself in my headphones?
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Is that better? Okay.
Just, it's like I'm talking to you and I can't hear myself talk, so I don't know what I'm saying.
A few things. Tyler Johnson, honestly, is there a more underappreciated, under-talked about player in the NHL than him?
No, I mean, not this year, there's not. Well, maybe one of his teammates in Kucherov who's pushing the points up there as well, right? The Lightning have a couple of guys who had good years last year. And then this year just absolutely exploded onto the scene as elite-level scorers all of a sudden. So, you know, once again, another example of an organization that's just drafting and developing and doing things the right way. I mean, they're able to find these guys. And I think Johnson was even a free agent, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was undrafted.
But Kucherov was a draft pick. Palat was a draft pick. I mean, a lot of these guys in their lineup that are playing well for them are guys that Al Murray went out and found in the draft. Some guys, fifth round, sixth round, second round, wherever you name it, they've got a guy that they've found, drafted, and developed and is now playing for them. So another organization that has seen the value in drafting and developing, and that's what they're doing.
Palat was one of those guys drafted when he was 20 years of age in the seventh round of 2011. You kind of take a flyer on an older player, and now a few years later. That line of Johnson, Kucherov, and Palat, that's their first, third, and fourth leading scorers on the team. Like Stamkos, I know, gets the harder minutes. I checked it all out. But that second line, man, they are dynamic.
Yeah, no, they absolutely are. And it's not like they knock it out of the park on every draft pick, right?
No.
It's not. I mean, look at Brett Connolly. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I remember correctly, and I might be wrong on this, so I'm sure Twitter will keep me honest, but I believe Brett Connolly was Steve Yzerman's first year as general manager at that draft. And I remember having a lot of conversations about Brett Connolly. I believe he played in Prince George, hadn't played a lot, was hurt for a lot of that year. Some people felt like he might be the most skilled player in that draft. And Steve Yzerman took a bit of a flyer on him. I'm not sure how Al Murray or the scouting staff felt. I'm not sure where their heads were at. But I know Yzerman really believed in this player, and he hasn't panned out at all. I mean, he's been hard-pressed to stay in that lineup and hasn't worked out at all. So that's a miss at number, what,
six
eight?
Or six? Was he six, I think?
Six
yeah.
or eight. That's a six. Miss at six. Mm-hmm. Yet they bounce back because they have a couple of finds in the second round.
Well, because he's playing this year. He's got eight goals. But, yeah, when you look at it, he's a sixth overall pick in 2010.
Yeah.
Then you've got Kucherov, a second rounder in 11, Palat, a seventh rounder in 11, and those guys are on the second line and outperforming him.
And I was covering that team a couple of years ago in the playoffs where they – I mean, Kucherov was kind of the spare part they had. He was in and out of the lineup and kind of – sometimes he was in, sometimes he was out. You know, these are guys who they have had around the organization who have just they've drafted them well and they've developed them well. So it's those two stages, right? You find guys, but then you properly develop them.
Yeah, because even
they've been able to do that.
Even their first round pick, granted, it was late in the first round, Namestnikov, he's not the player that Kucherov or Palat is just yet. And you know, even like Gudas, you would argue, who is the I'm sure he was the third round, their second pick in the third round in 2010. Right now, a better NHL player than Connolly.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah, Gudas is a beauty, man.
Yeah, you only need a few from each draft, maybe.
Yeah,
right.
But that's the thing is you gotta have some hits. Yeah.
You have to have some hits because they have misses too. Carter Ashton,
exactly.
Another guy, a first rounder who hasn't panned out for them. So. For a lot of hits, you still have misses, but you need more hits than misses. There's no debate in that.
And you need to let your people do their job. And Al Murray, I mean, Al Murray came through the Hockey Canada scouting staff. He was a head coach or head scout for Hockey Canada for a little while, parlayed that into a job, and then, you know, now he's on with Tampa and doing a really nice job on their amateur side finding players for them. Well, by the way, to your question, Brian Little, I might suggest, is a pretty underappreciated player. Like, I don't think people in general get just how offensive Brian Little can be playing in Winnipeg. He had 64 points last year.
Hottest guy in the NHL right now, Matthew Perreault. Over the last 12 games, he has the most goals with 11, followed by Ovechkin with 8.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you look at over a 12-game stretch, that's like 30% of the season already. And recently he was another guy who I know the Oilers went after in free agency, and Winnipeg was able to land him rather than Edmonton.
He was their main target. So when they were looking at who they wanted to go and get, right, they had Fane on the back end. They had
Pouliot
on the wing, right, as kind of their main priorities. Realistic targets, right? They weren't just swinging for the fences with you know, guys they knew they weren't going to get. And he was their – Perreault was their main target at center. And obviously it didn't pan out. He felt the fit was better in Winnipeg, and that's where he ended up going. I'm sure the Oilers had every bit as much money on the table. But that's where he went and would have been a good fit here. They didn't get him.
Jeff Petrie, Edmonton owners. Contract, and I talked to Petrie in the locker room, and he had told me a few weeks ago they've yet to have any discussions.
Yeah.
And gave me the impression that he didn't think they were coming, which doesn't surprise me because I think both – like, the Edmonton owner, sure, you can make an offer. There's no reason Jeff Petrie should accept it, to be frank.
Yeah.
There's no reason. And, you know, when I hear – you know, I read Matt Henderson's story today at Oilers Nation. I agree with all of it except the fact where it states that Jeff Petrie really wants to be in Edmonton. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that at all because, trust me, now, he's never going to come out and say that.
No.
But when I ask him about, hey, it's free agency, you're 27 years of age, sure, you can always say, yeah, I want to be in Edmonton. Sure, he would like to be in it. He wouldn't be opposed to being in Edmonton. But let's just say he's not signing in Edmonton to avoid not testing free agent market.
Yeah,
so it's easy to say, yeah, I want to be in Edmonton. Sure, you want to be in Edmonton because it's an NHL city.
Yeah.
But you'd rather test the free agent market.
I think this is what it boils down to, right? Edmonton is not a market. Jeff Petrie is willing to take a hometown discount to stay in. And Jeff Petrie is not a player the Oilers are willing to overpay in free agency to have. I just don't think there's a marriage there for those two reasons. He's not giving them a hometown discount to stay here. They're not going to overpay him. They know him as well as anybody. And so where Jeff Petrie ends up signing is probably somewhere in that middle ground, but it's somewhere else. It's not here. And he would be just like any other free agent that the Oilers tried to bring in here. They'd have to overpay him to get him to come. And I just don't think they're willing to do that with this player. And I get why it's frustrating for some people. You look at the way he's playing right now. He's playing really well. You know, good for him after a sluggish start. But that's good for the Oilers, too, because the return for Jeff Petrie will be better because he's playing well right now. So I think he needs to just put his head down, keep playing well. The trade will come at some point.
And if it's going to come, it might as well come sooner than later. Honestly, if the organization knows they're going to trade Jeff Petrie, like if they realize Petrie wants to test the free agent market, fine. We all understand why. It's a business thing. And now, do the Oilers want to pay him $5 or $5.5 million? No, and I understand that too. So if you know that Petrie wants to test the free agent waters because he's 27 and there's a lot of reasons why, he could get a 6 or 7 year deal, for goodness sake. So why wouldn't you test it? I totally understand that from a business standpoint. From an Oilers organizational standpoint then, trade him as quick as you can because the longer he's here, it decreases your chances of finishing worse.
The only thing you need to be careful of is that he's a right shot defenseman. A lot of teams will want that. They'll covet that. And you maybe lose out on some of the desperation that happens in and around trade deadline. Like, I think back to a few years ago when Paul Gostad got him a first-round pick.
Yeah, but I went back to the last 6 years, and I know that's one example, right? Paul Gostad, sure. But, you know, I looked last year. The only first-rounders were, Jerome Iginla, Jay Bouwmeester, and then Marty St. Louis with Ryan Callahan. And Petrie's not close to any of those players.
No. David Perron has already gotten them one.
Because they got Perron with more time to gel with his team, and I think that's why a team will look at that and say, and Perron, by the way, also has a year in his deal.
Yes, not a rental. Good point by you. But I think that the price will go up as the deadline gets closer. That always happens. So, I mean, the Oilers, I'm sure, have an idea what they want in return, and I think the closer they wait to the deadline, the better chance they get that. If what they want, if that mole pops his head up, then you whack it. Just do the deal. But I do think that there will be a decent return for Petrie here because there aren't necessarily going to be a lot of defensemen like him available. And he's playing well right now. And I just think other teams will look at that and feel like that could be exactly the piece they want to add.
I look at teams. I know Low Tide, and I was bugging him on Twitter yesterday because he had written an article about the LA Kings and how they could potentially be a fit. And I was like, "Oh, are we going to play a game of where do you think Jeff Petrie lands?" I love that game because I think we all agree that he's going to get dealt. So, you know, Detroit seems to be the number one because they only have one right guy in their whole team. When they came in Edmonton, as far as that's right-handed, he's also from the Detroit area. And trust me, I asked Jeff Petrie about the Detroit Red Wings, and he's I grew up a big Red Wing fan. You can't deny it. He's got a home right there. So there's a lot of reasons why Detroit long-term makes the most sense. And I think if you're the Detroit Red Wings, you know that. And you also know that, okay, you know what? We would we overpay, you know, to give up a prospect or whatever for Jeff Petrie now when we're pretty certain we could get him as a free agent? Right, that's why I'm not certain that Detroit's the landing spot in a trade.
Well, it's where and it's how they feel they'll do if they don't get him. Like, what do they think it does to their chances if they don't land this player who they very well could end up getting anyways? And, I mean, maybe it's the tipping point for them. Maybe it pushes them over the edge and gives them the little bit more that they need. I mean, you look at their blue line between Cronwall, Erickson, Quincy, Kindle, DeKaiser. DeKaiser's a very good young player. He's not going anywhere. Brendan Smith, like, they're not bad back there. They shoot the wrong way, but they're not bad. So they might Babcock might be able to look at it and go, ah, we can make do. If you think you can get them in free agency next year and it's going to cost us a second-round pick, which they don't want to give up, then maybe they feel like they can make do. But he's going somewhere, and someone will be better off for having him. But on a good team, he's going to be a number four or a number five.
Yeah, which, you
nothing
know,
wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it. Because
still a good player.
Yeah, it allows him to probably look more consistent because he's not having to play against the other team's top lines every night.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's run its course here with Jeff. I think it just has. And this is not a city where, if you're Petrie, I mean, honestly, this is not a city where, let's say the Oilers give him what he wants on a six-year deal, right? What does that number look like? 5.25? So let's say Jeff Petrie gets that deal done with the Oilers. Is this the city to come in on $5.25 million for a defenseman who's never really put up much in the way of great numbers and is soft? How's he going to function in this city under that dollar figure? He was here through some of that Horkoff nonsense. Why would he want to do that deal here?
No, he doesn't.
Where he's seen the way it can go with guys.
Yeah.
He's not a guy that drops the gloves, you know, 5-6 times a year and the fans adore him. That's not Jeff Petrie. Now, some of the analytics people and people who value different things see value in him. But this is not the city that's going to embrace Jeff Petrie at $5.25 million. And he knows that. Why not go make your $5 million somewhere where you're going to just blend in, be able to do your thing? And if you're Jeff Petrie's people, you got to be telling them that too.
The team that I think takes a good run at Jeff Petrie, the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
They have a lot of, you know, Brent Burns is the right shot, but that, you know, Vlasic, Braun, Dylan, Irwin, Mueller, all lefties.
Yep.
And San Jose, I think, is a team. Like, if you look at a general manager who looks and says, okay, it's probably their last run. Like, if the San Jose Sharks don't win at least two rounds in the playoffs,
oh, yeah,
there's probably some changes there.
Yeah, there
right?
has to be.
And maybe even as high as the GM, we'll see. And if it's a draft pick, Doug Wilson has never shown he's afraid to trade a pick and possibly you know, a young prospect. To me, out of all the Western teams, I think the San Jose Sharks are the one that could use Petrie the most and would be very interested.
Yeah, and it's that kind of fit that Craig McTavish needs to. That's why I get what you're saying about wanting to make the deal right away, and if he can find it, good. But there will be a team who really, really wants this player. And the longer Craig waits, the more chance there is that he's, because maybe he's pushing for a second and a prospect. Maybe that's what he's looking for Petrie. Maybe people think that's high. I don't know. We'll see where the market bears out. But if Craig waits, maybe he gets that extra piece that he wants too. And it's not just a straight up, you know, Petrie for a pick. Maybe there's another piece. But again, these are the kinds of deals where this extra throw-in player or this extra prospect, this is where they need to lean on their pro scouts. They need to go to them and say, okay, guys, San Jose's got a second rounder on the table. I think I can get a player out of him. Who's the guy in their organization we need to have? Who is he? Because when was the last time Craig saw their American League team play? Mm-hmm. So where are the pro? So this is where the pro scouts step up and go, that's the guy you got to get, right? That's where you make your hay in some of these deals. And you know who's really good at that? The Nashville Predators are very good at that. They make deals, and some of them are big deals, but some of their throw-ins over the years have been really, really good. This Yarncroc was like a throw-in, and here he is playing regularly for them. The teams that have good pro intelligence, this is where they make their hay because, yep, you go this guy for the second-round pick and this guy out of your system. That's where your pro scouts make their money.
What do you think happens tonight in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is a good matchup for the Oilers, right? The Lightning aren't a great big team. They're not going to lean on them, impose their will physically on them. So I think, I mean, the Oilers will be able to skate and generate some offense with these guys if their top players are playing well. So I'll say the same thing. I think they'll be in the game, but I'm not going to call them to win. They haven't won on the road forever.
Tampa hasn't lost three straight games all season long. Yeah. They're coming off two straight losses. They will get a victory tonight.
Book it.
Shogger, we will chat with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Okay, buddy. You too.